This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. A series of large storm systems are slowly moving across the Dakotas today, providing some much-needed moisture for crops. Aberdeen National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Doering says the storms aren't too severe, but some areas are seeing some hail.
We're seeing some showers and storms across a good part of eastern South Dakota. West of Aberdeen, though, it's mainly just your broad area of showers, which is much-needed rainfall for a lot of the farmers across the South Dakota, for that matter. And we get off to the east, along the North Dakota-South Dakota border, we do have a line of showers and thunderstorms. Nothing really severe with that, other than probably produce some storm that produced some small hail, pea-sized hail. About an hour ago, we had a pea hail in Sisseton. And I say that's kind of moving on a northward direction.
The storms could linger through Friday night.
The other area we're looking at for some rotation and storms is actually in Dual County. Clear Lake area. We did have a report of perhaps a couple of funnels east of Clear Lake there from emergency management. And that area is kind of can keep on tracking north, northeast throughout the day. So if anyone's in like west central Minnesota, be on the lookout for possible some funnel clouds off and on throughout the day. Probably for the next couple of hours as this line kind of moves northward throughout time. The storm system's kind of slow moving, so while the main severe threat is today, we'll still see some showers and some storms lingering out throughout the day on Friday as well into Friday night.
More significant rainfall is expected over the next 7 days across the northern plains. World Weather Incorporated says the Dakotas still favored to receive the greatest moisture, while north central and northwestern Montana will receive the least. Rain will lead to some field work delays, but moisture benefits will offset any planting delays. World Weather says a frost and freeze potential remains possible for Saturday and Sunday, with shower and thunderstorm activity occurring in most parts of the region most days through next Wednesday.
The northwestern Corn Belt will see additional rain and improving soil moisture into Friday before a drier weather pattern emerges Saturday through May 29th. World Weather Incorporated says the remainder of the Corn Belt will see a good mix of rain and sunshine, keeping soil moisture favorable and allowing good planting progress.
Dry and favorable crop conditions will continue for much of Brazil over the next 2 weeks. The exception will be southern Brazil and Paraguay, where regular rounds of rain will occur. The two-week outlook for Argentina is wetter than previous forecasts, with rain expected in the northeast and east central region Saturday through next Tuesday. World Weather Incorporated says the remainder of Argentina will see a good mix of rain and sunshine.
Movement in Washington, D.C. on a tax package with significant implications for agriculture. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director of Government Affairs Kent Bacchus is applauding the action taken by the House Ways and Means Committee.
You know, it's been over 18 hours of debate on this and really looked at a lot of things, and but they voted it through, and you know, we're pretty excited about some of the provisions that are in there. You know, first and foremost, repealing the death tax has been just a top priority for NCBA, and it will continue to be that. But while we're not able to get full repeal from this tax package, we are happy to see that they're going to increase the estate and gift tax exemption amount to $15 million per individual, $30 million per couple, and that will be adjusted for inflation annually, and that will be a permanent exemption.
Bacchus said the bill also expands tax tools for small businesses and farms, including expensing and depreciation provisions.
We need to have more certainty in the tax code. We need to have tools that actually help small business owners and family farms and ranches. And we've got some good things to build off of from the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. But you can't let the grass grow into your feet. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep pushing for greater relief. Otherwise, Uncle Sam's going to take every penny from you that he can.
That bill now heads to the full House, with action in the Senate expected later.
The House is moving forward on President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill as three committees yesterday voted to advance some of the most contentious parts of the major budget package aimed at addressing the president's defense, energy, and tax priorities. Representative Julie Fedorchuk says the bill addresses key concerns for farmers.
Two really important things included in their reconciliation package for North Dakotans are an increase in reference prices and improvements to crop insurance. Obviously, we would prefer to have a full extension of the Farm Bill. That's not allowed. We couldn't tackle that comprehensively in the reconciliation package, but these are two key components of farm policy that our producers have been asking for a couple of years now. We know it's really important for them to have certainty in those areas, especially moving into this year's growing season.
Fedorchak said the legislation also focuses on tax and energy reforms.
We ended the Biden EV mandates. That's another big one. And then provided some new tools to energy producers in the realm of regulatory relief to help advance energy development in our country.
National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue responded to the House Ag Committee's reconciliation bill, saying he appreciates efforts to strengthen crop insurance, the Farm Safety Net, and conservation programs. However, LaRue criticized the process, warning that dividing farm and nutrition priorities creates unnecessary conflict. He emphasized the need for a unified farm bill that addresses the full range of challenges facing agriculture and rural communities, saying it must support farmers, ranchers, and families alike.
The National Milk Producers Federation praising the House Agriculture Committee's reconciliation proposal for including key support for the dairy industry. National Milk President Greg Dowd says the bill provides critical investments that will create opportunities for dairy and offer long-term certainty for farmers. The package extends the dairy margin coverage program through 2031, updates production history calculations, and funds USDA dairy plant cost surveys every 2 years, also supports trade promotion, conservation research, and animal health efforts. National Milk also backs a provision in the broader package to make the Section 199A tax deduction permanent for dairy cooperatives. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The National Association of Wheat Growers voicing support for the House Ag Committee's version of the reconciliation bill. National Association of Wheat Growers President Pat Clement says the legislation includes many of the top priorities that wheat growers have pushed for over the past 3 years. The bill boosts the price loss coverage program, strengthens crop insurance, doubles funding for export promotion through the market access and foreign market development programs. And the National Association of Wheat Growers says Congress must act this year to deliver these improvements and provide long-term certainty for wheat producers.
With new tariff discussions underway, questions are swirling about the impact on global fertilizer supplies, particularly from China. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer Josh Linville says China has not been a major exporter lately, especially when it comes to urea.
As long as China had been still exporting the product, the global S&D doesn't really change. It just shifts these trade patterns, which had been established in the most efficient way possible. So when you put these tariff restrictions in place, it's not the overall S&D changes. It's just these supply chains start to change a little bit. What one country may lose, the other country gets to gain. So that's what we've really been dealing with. But over the last, well, when you look at urea, ever since late 22, and actually phosphate as well, early 22 saw global prices spike, and the government started to intervene on these export programs, taking the stance of, we're going to keep tons at home, keep our price lower versus the rest of the world. We're going to take care of our farmers before anybody else gets to have product.
Linville says the Chinese strategy of limiting exports has had a big impact on prices, and from their perspective, it's working.
Last year, their exports just barely made over 250,000 tons total, not a single month, total for the entire calendar year. Q1 25, those exports have fallen to shy of 4,000 tons. We're no longer measuring Chinese exports in vessels. We're measuring them in containers. It is such a small amount. And what that has done is obviously played a big part in why global prices are higher. But when you go and you look at the price charts and you compare Chinese values against our own, against, say, the Middle East and places like this around the world, China is a significant, significant discount. Fortunately for Chinese buyers, this strategy has worked out amazingly well.
As trade negotiations between China and the U.S. continue to drag on, StoneX chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman says the Chinese strategy is becoming a bit clearer.
right now China believes that it is in a better position than the United States because obviously it can control the message, and it believes that if it waits out Trump that he'll lose public support here in the United States and Congress will clip his wings, so to speak, and then China won't have to give up anything because they watch the news, they see the negative reporting, and that's what they're banking on right now. So overall, they're holding out for that, and they feel if they negotiate, they'll get a worse story.
China also appears to be feeling the pain from the waiting game.
When you look at China, the economic data is definitely turning lower with layoffs, thousands of layoffs. Factory numbers are going down. Their orders are going down dramatically. They're seeing the pain of it, and they're going deeply into debt in order to keep the economy going and to keep the economy stimulated and to do job retraining, create other ways for jobs, put money into consumers' hands, etc. So they are paying a deep price for this, but they feel at this point that they have no choice if they're going to maintain their overall goals of eventually becoming the world's number one economy, number one military, because there's a sense there that if we're not on top, we may slip into irrelevance.
In its May crop report, Brazil's crop supply agency, CONAB, is estimating a record large soybean crop. CONAB expecting Brazil's farmers to harvest 168.3 million metric tons of soybeans on record large planted area coupled with excellent yields. Corn production also expected to be nearly 10% more than last year at 126.9 million metric tons.
USDA's weekly export sales were good this morning. RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner would like to see that continue.
Yeah, they really were good exports, and that's nice to see. But, you know, the flip side to it is, will it continue? I'm a little nervous about that. I hope it does. But, yeah, they were good numbers. There's no two ways around it.
USDA's weekly export sales for the week ending May 8 showed combined old and new crop corn sales 2.2 million metric tons, 30% more than the previous week, and 54% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean sales, 773,000 metric tons, double the previous week, 65% more than the four-week average. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Sugar beet planting throughout the Northern Plains mostly finished. NDSU Extension plant pathologist and sugar beet specialist Eric Branch says as they begin to emerge that thinner stands are okay.
The sugar beets are planted, 99%, practically all planted. And as the seedlings are emerging, seeds are germinating, seedlings are emerging, we want to look for a crop stand in the range of about 175 to 200, 210 plants per 100 feet. And there's some wiggle room. Sugar beets can make up for that in yield, if there's thinner areas, less competition.
There are some emergent issues to watch out for this year.
We've had a few days of really intense heat, and of course that could have an impact on germinating seedlings as they push up through the ground and are exposed to extra temperature right at the soil level and that warm, hot soils as well. And of course the wind, always a concern if there's blowing wind. The other two concerns related more disease related, right? Either water, and after this weekend, who knows, in areas of thunderstorms with heavy downpours, if there's some ponding and standing water, that can cause an issue by itself. But plant diseases, root diseases, particularly the Rhizoctonia damping off. We've got the warm soil. Should there be some moisture here this weekend, we'll see an increased risk for that particular disease.
Checking quotes, July wheat Minneapolis up 1.5 to 578.5. July wheat Chicago up 7 cents, 531.75. KC July hard red winter wheat's up 4.5 to 527.5. July corn up 3 cents, 448.5. September down 2 cents, December down 1.5. July soybeans down 29.5 whopping cents at 1048.5. September down 26. New crop November soybeans down 25.75 cents. In Winnipeg, July canola is down $27.30 per metric ton, $694.20 Canadian. On the cattle side, June live cattle down $2.70 to $211.25. August feeders down $6.52 now, $295.45. June lean hogs up $1.62 at $1.47. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.